Amen. Who doesn't have an outline? Okay, Amber, you got one? Okay, good. Everybody got a pen? There's some pens back there. If not, we'll dig some more out. We got lots of pens, trust me. All right. Hey, thank you guys so much for your giving and your faithfulness. Thank you for the worship, Keith. Awesome. Thank you to get in God's presence and to receive from the Lord. Amen. My voice is coming back. I'm excited. I can yell at Candy now. No. Yeah, she's excited. Oh, praise the Lord. I tell you what, it's been close to a month. But anyway, they told me my vocal cords were so damaged that it was going to take about 3 weeks to, and I just said, Lord, just thank you. Thank you. But anyway, this morning I want to talk to you about God expects you to see results. Amen? How many want to see results? How many don't care? I'll pray for you. Come on. Every one of us want to see results. So if you want something you've never had, you've got to do something you've never done. Amen. So let's look at this. Listen, I've been saying this over and over. This is the season for breakthrough. This is new beginnings for you. New breakthroughs. And I'm not taking anything less than that, and I know you're not either. But this is the season for breakthrough. This year is the Jubilee year. And I had, like I said before, 777, which means perfection. It's 5777. This is the year. And 7 means perfection. And then we are going into new beginnings. The Jubilee, new beginnings. Things that the enemy has stolen, God wants to restore back. God wants to begin to do things, speed up things exponentially. I got that right. Exponentially. He's doing it quicker than you've ever dreamed of. People pray and believe God because your prayers are going to be answered faster than you've ever dreamed. And I'm telling you right now, the enemy has stopped and tried to put a damper on God's people for so long. And I'm telling you right now, this is a new ball game. This is a new year and a new beginning. And every day when you get up, you really need to be saying, Lord, thank you for new beginnings in my life. And I receive what you have for me. I receive the destiny you called me to. So we know that this is a season for your breakthrough. God does not want you to struggle for the rest of your life and never see progress. God expects you to see results. And we want to see results. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted to no purpose. Your praying, your intercession, your believing God, your doing what God has called you to do is not in vain. It's not all of a sudden you're just not going to wake up one day and it's all gone. No. You've had too much prayer. You've had too much intercession. You've had too much word declaring the word of the Lord for you to fail of what God has for you. And I like this scripture, what it says in the Passion. It says, so now, beloved ones, stand firm and secure. Live your lives with unshakable confidence. See, today we are confident people. Why? Because we serve a confident God. And we need to be confident in everything in our life, knowing that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. But it says, stand firm and secure. Live your lives with unshakable confidence. We know that we prosper. Someone say amen. We know we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor what? Productive. It makes it productive with fruit that endures. So what it's saying is, as we move with God, you're going to see results happen in your life. As you stay with God, no matter how it looks out there in the world, no matter how bad it gets, if you stay with God, you will see God do some great and mighty things in your life that even the enemy can't shut down. Even the enemy can't stop it because you're on a roll. Remaining firm and secure with an unshakable confidence, it does serve a purpose. It really does. It's not a waste of time. Satan would love to convince you and I that it's a waste of time, but God says it's not. Write this down. First point. God wants us to prosper, move forward, and excel, be the best we can be in every season. No matter what season or trial or difficulty you're facing at this very moment. Pretty powerful. No matter what season you're in right now, and you're saying, Pastor, the season I'm in is sure not very good. It seems like everything is just, man, everything is happening. It's happening wrong. I'm trying to do this, and it seems to fall apart. I'm trying to be this, and you're trying to do everything that you can. It's not a waste. But listen, no matter what season or difficulty or trial you're facing this morning, people, let me say this. God is going to prosper you and move you forward, and you're going to be the best you can ever be when you come out of that. See, God never said that we could avoid trials and tests and problems. He never said that. But he did say that he would get us through them if we would trust him. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you've got to go through the valley. You're going to go through the valley. But as I walk through it, I will fear no evil, for my God is with me and he comforts me. Even no matter what we walk through, even though it might look like something's not happening, listen, you continue doing something that will eventually produce some positive results in your life. If it looks like it's not happening, make it happen in the Lord. Begin to pray. Begin to declare. Begin to speak God's word over that situation. Get a promise. Hang on to that promise. As long as you are determined to stand your ground, then you're giving God something to work with. The Bible says, don't give any place to the devil, but stand your ground. Be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always doing something. Write this down. It's when we become passive that we take God out of the picture. Isn't that the truth? It's when we become passive that we take God out of the picture. How many like this? I encourage you today to stay proactive. Don't become passive in your thought life. Don't let your guard down. Keep stirring yourself up by remembering his faithfulness and watch what he will do on your behalf. Isn't that awesome? It is so true. So people, when we become passive, we put God out of the picture. But when we become aggressive and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. As for me in this situation, guess what? God's going to win on this. And we hold to that. We hold to that. The next one says breakthroughs. Write this down. Breakthroughs are always the result of diligent pursuit. Breakthroughs are always the result of diligent pursuit. I like this. It says you're going into a season where you're about to experience breakthrough. After breakthrough, because what you went through didn't break you. Isn't that the truth? You better write that one down. Breakthroughs are always a result of diligent pursuit. When you and I back down and we quit when it gets tough, we never see the breakthrough. But I want to challenge you this morning, people, that if you will press on, no matter how it looks, no matter how you feel, see, feelings will lie to you, but you stand by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, not by the natural, but we walk by faith. So as you stand walking with the Lord by faith and say, Lord, I trust you through this situation that I'm dealing with. I trust you, Lord, that you're going to take care of this. I trust you, Lord, that your healing power is going to manifest in my life. I trust you, Lord, for my wife, my husband, my children, my grandchildren. And you begin to trust God And if you will trust him and you will move forward in God and hang on to his promises, you will see results. Things will begin to happen. Look at Philippians 3:14. This is Paul talking. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you something. What plan do you have in place in order to receive your breakthrough? Think about that. Well, if it happens, it happens. Well, you know what? God will be God. God is God. But he's waiting for you to move so that he can move with you. Everywhere you read in the Gospels, Jesus made somebody do something to receive a miracle. Do you notice that he just didn't go and just heal people? They came after him. Now, there's times, yeah, he laid hands on people, but they always came to him. And he always made them do something. The man with the withered hand, he couldn't stretch it forth, but when he stretched it forth, he was healed. The man that was by the pool of Siloam, we were at that pool. We saw that pool where the man laid there for 30 years waiting for the angel to come down and touch the water and move the water, and the first one to step in got healed. Everybody always got ahead of him. Well, Jesus said, do you want to be healed? Well, you don't understand, Jesus. And he started telling Jesus why he couldn't get healed. And Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. Guy rose up, got healed. But he made him do something. And people, if we wait, it'll never happen. But if we move forward in the faith that we have, even in the little faith, if you move forward, God will move with you and you will begin to see breakthroughs and results in your life. But you got to move forward. That's why Paul said, I press. Pressing, moving in a specific goal or direction. That's what pressing means. It speaks of aggressive, energetic endeavor. It's like a runner. How many have ever run track or cross country? Well, I used to do that and run that stuff. It's like a runner trying to reach the finish line. Paul pursued this goal with all his might, straining every spiritual and mental muscle that he had. But that's what it means to press forward. He said, I press towards the mark. I press towards the goal. I press towards what I need in my life. I press towards that. Too many people are waiting for it to happen. No, you got to move forward by thanking the Lord, by praising him, by his word and declaring and decreeing and beginning to move forward in God with confidence that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. So Paul did that. Let's go down to 1 Corinthians 9:26. Before I read this, I remember, you know, when you run in track, and how many watch the Olympics? I love watching the Olympics. When these guys are running, and I mean, they're just, man, these guys are fast. Some of these guys are fast. And they're running, but you'll notice something at the very end. They will launch their neck forward. They'll put their arms forward. They'll do anything to cut the time in order to qualify. Because 1 second, 1 millionth, or 1/10 of a second, 1/100 of a second can either be between a gold and a bronze. It depends on how bad you want it. And so you got to press towards that finish line and that goal to get your breakthrough, to get what you need to get. But I thought that was always interesting. And those guys would shave off 1/10, and that would be enough to win the gold. Amazing. 1 Corinthians 9:26, therefore I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. The New Living Translation says, so Paul says, so I run with purpose in every step. What's your purpose? What's your plan? What are you trying to receive from God? God's word says, so I run, but not without a clear goal ahead of me. That means I have to have a goal. I have to have an aim. I have to have, what am I going after? Complete Jewish Bible says, I don't run aimlessly, but straight for the finish line. And sometimes the enemy will bring distractions in your life in order to keep you from moving forward. Don't allow any distractions. That's the one gimmick that the enemy wants to put on God's people. It's to distract you from moving forward and trusting God for your breakthrough. You'll have people come to you and they'll talk you out of a miracle. They'll talk you out of receiving what you're believing God for. Well, don't be so spiritual. Yeah, be spiritual. Well, you don't understand. God isn't a Santa Claus, so he's just not going to give it to you like that. Had somebody tell me that one time. Too bad. I still got my bill paid for. It happened because I trusted the Lord. But people, even good-hearted people, will talk you out of it. Keep pressing, people. Keep pressing. Paul said he ran with his eye on the goal of ending well. Are we running with our eye on the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus? In order to receive the breakthrough or the victory we need, are we running that way? It's saying that if you want to win, then you have got to be willing to give it maximum effort in your life. Breakthroughs and victories do not come to people who quit, who back off, or slow down. It takes diligent effort on our part. You can't back off, not with the enemy. You can't back off with the devil. You got to move forward. Hebrews 6:12. Let's look at this, people. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through what? Faith in what? Oh, my golly, there's that word again. Patience. How many were ever afraid to ask God for patience? I remember one time when I was an early Christian, I said, I ain't asking God for patience, then I'm going to go through all this crap. And we miss the whole point. That's not what patience means. Patience means to be consistent in moving forward. Do you know what means constancy? It doesn't mean to sit there and just get beat up and be patient with it. It means that you are standing your ground and you're constant. You're not wavering to the right or to the left, but you're constant all the time. That's patience. That has to be patience. When you keep moving forward and it just bounces off you, no matter what people say, no matter what the enemy says. But it says this, don't be lazy. But followers of them through patience, faith and patience, they inherit the what? They inherit the what? You ain't going to inherit the promises. I'm not going to get it if I'm not patient and I'm lazy. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I want somebody else to do all the praying because, you know what, No, you've got to pray. You've got to be the one that's diligent to pray and to go after it. Now, look at this in the Passion. It says, so don't allow your hearts to grow dull or sluggish, but follow the example of those who fully received what God had promised because their strong faith and their patient in what? The word endurance means that you keep moving forward. That's patience. You keep moving forward. You don't stop. How many remember when we're watching the Olympics? The girl that was running, they were running the hurdles, I think it was, and one of the girls fell. And the one that could have won turned up, stopped, went back, lifted her up, and helped her out across the finish line. Do you know they spoke more about that than the person who won? How many people would be willing to sacrifice a medal to do that for somebody else? I thought that was awesome. Christian girl. And the other girl probably thought, what are you doing? Picked her up, took her across the finish line. And I thought, isn't that like God? Pick us up and help us cross the finish line, no matter what. That's the God we serve. Write this down. In order to not have a dull or sluggish heart, you have to keep your relationship fervent and passionate with the Lord. Fervent and passionate with the Lord. You'll notice that Paul did not believe in being passive. He knew that it would take a lot to win. Let's look at Colossians. Colossians 1:29. To this end I also labor. To this end I also labor. How many know it's hard work sometimes being a Christian? How many thought that when you give your life to Jesus that everything was roses and everything was cool? I mean, there was never going to be any problems. Never going to be. Well, if they told you that, they lied to you. And if I ever told you that, forgive me. Just the thing is, Colossians says, to this end I labor striving according to what? His working, which works in me mightily. The only way that we can do it, beloved, is that we need God in us to do it for us. We can't do it by ourselves. It's by His strength. The Passion says, it has become my inspiration and passion in ministry to labor with tireless intensity, with His power flowing through me. Ellen, let me ask you a question. When you were going through that, all the operation, all the garbage you went through, yeah, our first thing would have been, you know, I need a miracle, it's gone, don't have to worry about it. That's what we would pray for. That's what we should pray for. You went through the process, okay? During that whole process, did you ever feel like quitting? No. You know why? Because you already knew that God was going to heal you. Already knew that God was going to heal you. Brad, the same thing. You already knew that God was the healer and that God, you had to go through the process, but God was your healer and He was your deliverer. Every one of us in here, we knew that it was God anyway. Without God, we're going to be either go home and be with the Lord or we're going to be here. Either way, we win. But I would rather choose to see God's glory through the process and Him get the glory through the process than not get it at all. Does that make sense? So Paul knew that it would take a good fight of faith. It would take a good fight of faith. You know why it's a good fight of faith? Because we win. I read the last chapter of the Bible and we win. When it's all said and done and you're standing before the Lord in heaven, you won. In the light of eternity, does it really matter? No. It's the sometimes the journey is just as important as the destiny, because without the journey, you never learn about what the destiny meant. There's something about it. Do we always like it? No. We don't, but we do it. Paul says we fight the good fight of faith. Paul knew that it would take not being moved by negative circumstances. Paul knew that it would take remaining confident no matter how long he might have to endure. Well, Lord, this is just taking too long. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Come on. You know some of you said that. Well, Lord, what? Why is this taking so long? You're God. Why don't you just do it? You know what? If God did everything instantly the way we wanted to, we would never grow. We would never learn to trust Him, and we would never be strong on the other side, and we would never know how to stand against the enemy if the enemy came with something stronger. We wouldn't. I don't know about you, but I would rather God do it now. But it doesn't work that way. Paul knew. Paul knew it would take trusting God even when defeat looked predictable. Even when you felt alone. And you feel like you're in this by yourself. Nobody understands, Lord. God says, I do. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to cry, bawl and squall? Or are you going to gird up and say, guess what, God, you and me is going to get through this together. Paul was fully aware that winning required a strenuous effort and a focused concentration. Once again, like a runner, Paul fixed his eyes on the finish line and determined that nothing was going to distract him. This is also what it takes for your breakthrough, people, to become reality. You have to become single-minded. Look at James 1:8. Let's read this. For being as he is, a man of two minds. I can't even take care of the one I got. A man with two minds, hesitating, doubtful, indecisive. How many have ever been like that? Well, I don't know. Jenny starts laughing because she said, I'm like that. We go to a restaurant, honey. What do you want? Well, I don't know, honey. What do you want? I already know what I want. If it's on the list, I'm going to eat it, whatever it is. Honey, what do you want? Well, I don't know, honey. What do you think? Gloria, am I right? You know why? Because Gloria's like that too. Well, honey, how about if I choose this for you? Okay. She likes it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, why don't you try this? But I mean, sometimes we're indecisive, aren't we? We don't know. And that's a good decisive, you know. That's good. I can handle that. That's a good one. But it means to be doubtful, hesitating. Sometimes we'll hesitate and we become indecisive about God. Not that God can't do it, but that if we can believe it. Isn't that the truth? If we can believe it. It means he's unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, or decides. That's pretty heavy. We let our emotions tell us what we're going to believe sometimes. Everybody take your right hand, slap your arm, and say, stop that. We do. Sometimes we will let people tell us how we're supposed to think. And we become indecisive. We hesitate in trusting what God really wants to do. And so the passion says, when you are half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you're in that condition? No. God is a faith God. He only moves by faith. Well, Lord, how about if I'm 10% believe you? How about 90%? No, he's a faith God. He's 100% faith God. He doesn't come down and pat you on the shoulder and say, well, honey, I'll just let you slip on this one. No, he's a faith God. How much faith does it take? Mustard seed, a little bit. It grows. Your faith will grow. Keep moving forward and trusting him. When you're unstable, you become changeable and unpredictable. I mean, anybody can sway you to believe a lie. Well, I just don't know what I believe. Well, get into Scripture and find out what God says. I believe him, what he says. What does God say about your healing? What's God say about your blessings? What's God say about this or that? You won't know until you find out. When you're unstable and you're not focused, you will not receive anything. It takes faith. People who are not determined, focused, firm, and unmovable just don't win. Breakthroughs simply do not come to these people. Now, you'll notice that Phelps, when he was swimming, that guy's got more medals than, how many has he got now? Anybody know? Wasn't it 19 last time? Might be 23, I think, 23. But here's a guy that's getting up there in age, but you know what? That means he's got to work twice as hard. He's not a young whippersnapper anymore. He can jump in there like a goldfish and just swim. He's got to work hard in order to win, and he knows it. Every time he's going to go in retirement, he comes back out, and I'm thinking, you're a crazy man. And he does it. He does it. And we have to be like that as Christians. We've got to train ourselves. with God's word, with prayer, and trusting God. Looking back at what Paul said in Philippians 3, you'll notice that he was able to keep us focused by doing two things. Write this down. A, forgetting what lies behind. You cannot move into your destiny if you're hanging on to your past. Let the past go. God forgave your past. Why can't you forgive it? Forgive that person. Let that person go. They'll distract you your whole life. Let him go. Forgive him. Move on. The enemy will take that and he will beat you to death with that thing. But Paul said, forgetting what lies behind. You know what he had to forget? Paul had to forget persecuting the church, causing Christians to die in fire by the lions, by all this. Paul was a part of that. He knew that he could never move forward and be all that he could be for God if he was living in his past. Well, Lord, you remember what I did? We talked about that this morning. Forgive yourself and move on with God. Amen? Forgive yourself. Forgetting what lies ahead. And this B is looking at what lies ahead and forgetting what's behind. But looking at what lies ahead. Change your focus and God will give you the direction. Do you know the Bible says a righteous man's steps are ordered of the Lord. They're ordered of the Lord. Philippians 3:13. Let's look at this. Paul said, I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. Your past is your past, people. My past is my past. When the devil brings up your past, bring up his future. Amen. The devil brings up your past, bring up his future. And you know what? Jesus forgave you for your past. So why are we living in the past? You know, offense is one of the worst things you can live in. Get out of that offense. Forgive. Move on. Move on. Whether that person forgives or not, move on. Because you have to finish the race. And Paul said this. Verse 14, I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. You can't keep thinking about or talking about past failures and expect to win today. You just can't. You've got to be willing to let all that go. See, the past is not relevant to what God wants you to experience right now. It isn't relevant. It doesn't matter. The past is not relevant to what God wants you to experience today. What is relevant is you're staying focused on breakthrough that God says belongs to you. And let's close with this. Last points. Keep pressing by continually charging the air with words of breakthrough. Don't talk about your defeat. Keep defeat out of there, people. Sometimes Candy and I, we try to correct ourselves. She'll say something and say, honey, is that what you want? Well, no. She'll ask me the same thing. Is that what you want? Well, no. So keep the air charged, people, with the words of breakthrough, with God's word. Say what God says. Say what God says in his word. Say, no, I don't care what you're saying or what everybody else is saying. I don't care what the doctor's reports say, L, right? You didn't care what the doctor's report said. You only cared what Jesus said, that he was your healer. So keep pressing, continue charging the air with breakthrough. The second was keep pressing by continually praising God for your breakthrough. Well, you don't see it yet, but you praise God anyway. Get up and just begin to say, Lord, thank you that I have that job that I've been praying about. Lord, thank you. Because I believe, Lord, that you want me to have this job. And you start praising him for it. Thank him for it. Why? Because it keeps the doubt out and keeps the enemy out. Amen? It keeps him out. I'd rather praise God and move forward than allow the enemy to keep me from moving backward. So just praise him. When you don't know what to do, praise him. When you want to talk negative, stop and say, no, I'm just going to praise him. Lord, thank you. I thank you for the breakthrough. I thank you for the victory in this area. Lord, I thank you for the healing. Lord, I thank you for the promotion. Amen, Joe? Thank God for the promotion. Amen. Thank God for the healing. It's coming. It's there. I'm receiving it. The third thing, keep pressing by continually sowing toward your breakthrough. Sometimes, I'm going to say this, people, sometimes we want to break through in our finances. What are you doing to break it through? Sometimes you need to sow something that's hard for you to sow. I remember the Lord saying to me, I said, well, Lord, I remember at Bible college, I didn't have money in Bible college. I wasn't rich. It's before Kenny and I met. But I would pray, and I'm not kidding you. I had a pastor in the church there that said, I do not believe in mailbox faith. Well, I did, because that was the way I was going to get money. I started praying. I said, Lord, I need this amount of money in order to do this or this. And I'd go to my mailbox, and it would be there. And then the pastor once stood up and said, now, I don't believe in this mailbox faith. I just got money through the mailbox. It was comical. It was funny. You had to be there. But anyway, if you needed something, I remember one time that I shared this a long time ago, this pastor's house burnt down. He lost everything. And he was moving to get another house. Everything was going wrong. And I remember he preached that Sunday night in chapel service. And he got up and he said, I wasn't going to do this. And he started pouring his heart out. I mean, he broke down and cried. He's got this house. No, it wasn't. It didn't burn, people. He had this house that he couldn't sell. God told him to move to another area, and he couldn't sell it. And everything was piling up, all the bills, everything. And he had this other house that he was supposed to move into. And he broke down and he started crying. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I don't want to say this. And I thought, why not? This is the body of Christ. And so we were there listening to this man, and all of a sudden somebody grabbed a hat, put the hat up on the stage. People started walking and throwing money into the hat. I ran home, and I remember that. I ran home and said, honey, I'm going to go get the checkbook. I went and got the checkbook. The Lord told me what to write. And so I got the checkbook, and I wrote a check out, and I threw it in there. When they got done counting the money, it was to the penny of what he needed to get out of that house and to move into the other house. The man just broke down and cried like a baby. To the penny, being obedient. Sometimes God will ask you to sow something in order for you to receive something greater as a blessing. See, God doesn't leave you helpless, people. He will always have you do something in faith in order so that he can get something to you in greater dimension to help you to help somebody else. Does that make sense? And sometimes I'll sow my last $5. Well, Lord, I need this for gas. And I remember doing that. I had my last money. God said, put the last $5. No, Lord. Now, you got to remember this. Gas was cheap back then. I wanted to go see Kenny. She lived in Bismarck, North Dakota. And I was going to go see her. And I said, Lord, I need this to see my baby. Lord said, sow the $5. All right. I think it was just $5 or something, or 15, whatever I put in that tank. I could get a home on a tank back, and it was like 30 cents a gallon, 35, 40 cents. You guys are going, that can't be that cheap. Ken goes, yeah, it is. But anyway, so I remember, I said, all right. I went and I sowed the money. I think it was $15. It was $15. Well, anyway, after the service, I'm standing there, and one of the teachers comes up to me and says, Adi, God spoke to me. Yeah? And he told me to give me some money so that you can go home this weekend. He did. I didn't tell this guy, and he said, no. You probably would like to go see Candy or go home for the weekend. But he told me to give you this money. And he took my hand and put money in my hand. I said, thank you, Jesus. I'm going home. What do? We move forward in faith. Sometimes you're going to have to step out and do something you usually don't do. But if you'll do it, God will be there to meet you right where you're at. See, faith is an action. It's always moving. You got to step out, because once you step out, God will be there. And I remember the story that, you know, Joel Osteen said this. I'll never forget this. When they were believing for that Coliseum, right or wrong, I could care less. Here's the thing. It was his heart's desire to catch that Coliseum. As soon as he started to step out to believe God for that Coliseum, had a lawsuit. Somebody sued him because they didn't want them to get the Coliseum for a church. And so he said, in the natural, it looked just impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So he said it was like 3 years later, the guy that was suing him called him up and said, Joel, I want to meet with you. And I'm thinking, why did this guy sue him anyway? He didn't even care if he had the thing. It was just one of those devil vendettas against God's people. So anyway, he meets him and drops the lawsuit. He said, well, my son and my brother-in-law and those people listen to your program. And he drops it after 3 years. Now, why would he have to struggle for 3 years with this thing? And then when he gets to Coliseum, he finds out it's going to be $100 million to remodel it. And you think you have financial problems? $100 million. But I have to take my hat off to this man. He stepped forward in faith, and God blessed it. God blessed it. And he's got the Coliseum. Now, let me say this. Do you think God can't do it for you? Yes, he can. Just like the runner we mentioned, the one who gives it everything he's got, as he crosses the finish line and knows he's won, he throws his arms high in the air and he celebrates his triumphal victory. That's how we are. That's who we are. And that's how we finish. Amen? That's how we finish. So I want to challenge you this morning to move forward in faith, trusting God. It's going to take labor. Sometimes it's going to take intensity. Sometimes it's going to take just downright gritted teeth in the spirit to get your breakthrough, to receive your breakthrough. Let's pray. Keith, if you want to play a little bit, go ahead. Let's play a little bit. Let's spend a little bit of time here. And let's, this morning, people, God is challenging us. God is challenging me. God is challenging us all that we can get results when we move forward and press forward in Him. Quit listening to the lies of the enemy. Quit listening to the lies of people. Quit listening to the people that will distract you, and keep your focus on Him. Because when your focus is on Him, you'll never lose. Some of you, God has stolen from you. He has ripped you off. He has made your life miserable. But God's going to restore that back. I believe that, if you'll believe with me. The enemy owes you from what he stole from you. And I've been hearing prophetic words spoken over and over and over through many prophets that this year and the years to come is going to be the most blessed years that we've ever seen. God is going to break through things in your life that you have tirelessly, but you've moved forward in faith and trusted Him. He's going to break it through like never before. And I believe that. So Heavenly Father, this morning we thank You for the breakthroughs that You have given Your people this morning. Father, we thank You for the victory that You've already given us this morning. We have the victory. Lord, I pray for strength over each and every person in this place. Holy Spirit, gird them up. Give them the strength they need and the fortitude to move forward in you towards their finish line. Lord, I can't run the race for them, but they have to run the race. They have to move forward. They have to excel. They have to have purpose and intent in their heart to receive their breakthrough. Father, this morning we thank you for the provision. We thank you for prayers being answered. We thank you that it's new beginnings, a new day. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And for this, Lord, we thank you. I just want everybody's head bowed. This morning, I just want to give an opportunity to anybody here that says, Pastor, you know what? What you said is what I needed to hear, because there's things that I need breakthrough for. There's things that I've been fighting for a long time, and now I know that what the Word says, that I can move forward in faith and trust to see this victory. Maybe you're feeling that way. I just want to see your hand. You, amen, 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 amen. Hands all over. God bless you. Maybe you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. What an opportunity to make Jesus Lord of your life. You're saying, Pastor, I need a relationship with God. I don't have one. It's not about going to church, people. It's not about saying just words, but it's about saying, I need God in my life. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, pray for me because I need that in my life. Anybody? Anybody? Amen. God, amen, amen. And God is there with you. God is there with you. Father, this morning, thank you so much for the privilege and honor to serve you. I pray for every person, Lord, that lifted their hands. I thank you for breakthrough right now. I thank you for the victory in Jesus' name. And Lord, I cancel the assignments of the enemy in Jesus' name against them. And we receive the glory, the power, and your presence and your strength to do all we can do and be all we can be through Christ Jesus. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord praise. Come on. Father, we thank you so much. Amen. Well, I hope this helped you. Boy, I tell you what, when I was studying, I said, Lord, breakthrough. Breakthrough for your people. And I believe it. I really do. I see it. You guys, I see it. I just see God. Just people are going to give testimony. Please, God does a breakthrough. Let us know. I mean, that's what testifying is about, is letting people know that God is God, no matter what you face, no matter what you go through. Amen. Amen. And we serve an awesome God. Amen. And God's not finished yet. Amen? Amen. God's not finished with me. He's not finished with us. He's still working on us. And we're moving forward in Him. We're moving forward in God. So praise the Lord. Everybody have a good 4th. Amen.